so important. Why is it so important? Imagine to yourself a kid. You bought your kid the toy he loves. Or, let's say something that he likes to eat, sweets or whatever, that he really loves. And you came from the shuk, and you give it to your little boy. What would the boy do?
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Daddy, and eat it. Or start playing with it. Imagine to yourself that your boy is not starting to eat. What is he doing? Daddy, first you. How would you feel? How would you feel? Is this love? Your son? You know how much he loves it. But he's not taking it first. He loves you so much that he's saying, I'm not going to taste it before you are going to taste it. How do you feel?
Love.
Love. That's what we want to do to God. We want to show his, our love. And how do you show your love? Well, imagine to yourself, this guy was working on this tree for years. Water, cutting it, looking after it in the sun, in the winter, and then eventually after a few years, he can eat the fruit. What would be the instinct of this guy? He sees this beautiful fruit after he works on this for 4, 5, 6 years. I have to taste this. I did it. I want to taste it. Mitzvat Bikurim says, you see the first fruit? This is for God. This is for Father in heaven. Is this a great mitzvah? You did something. You woke up in the morning, the first thing you do is what? Modeh ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. First of all, I say, thank you, God. We're not starting working, we're not starting eating before we daven. That's the first thing we do. That's Bikurim. Every first thing we do, first of all, we give to God. That's Bikurim. Bikurim has got also another thing. Because this guy was working on it. So he thinks, who did it? Who did it? I did it. I went to China. I found a factory that I can work with. I brought the stuff. I suffered. I traveled. I did this. I did that. Who did it all? So God tells you, no, you didn't do anything. The only thing you did ishtatlut. I did everything. And that's what is mitzvat bikurim. You tell God, eveti lecha, what did I bring you? Et reshit priyad matcha, that you gave it to me. It's from you. So it's only fair that first of all, I'm going to give it to you. The first thing. So, not only the first thing that I love, I give, I also admit that it's not me who did it. It's God. That's why Mitzvat Bikurim is so important. And again, they say something very interesting. Not a lot of people know it. So instead of Bikurim, you know what instead of Bikurim today, what is instead of Bikurim today? Our sages say, Tefillah. You saw Tefillah is against Korbanot. You're saying Tefillah Avot Tiknu. Now we've got a new thing. Tefillah is Bikurim. Why is Tefillah Bikurim? Because, first of all, I start with Tefillah in the morning. The first thing. Then, I admit to God that God created me and whatever I want, I know that the only one who can supply is God. Nobody else. And the third thing is, you know, when you put a seed in earth, it takes time till it grows. And this seed suddenly becomes a tree. And from this tree, from one seed, you have a tree with hundreds of fruit and with thousands or many more seeds. This is a miracle, is it not? Imagine to yourself, that you go to the Beis Olam and suddenly you see trees of people growing up. Because that's the same thing that happened to a seed. You put a seed in earth, it rottens, and then it grows again. And people think this is a normal thing. What's normal in it? It's a big miracle. And this is the miracle of the creation. And this is the power of tefillah. Tefillah, you don't see the results now. Like you treat the seed again and again. You don't, it doesn't grow. But it grows. You don't see it. But it grows. It happens. Every minute it happens. And that's exactly the Mitzvat Bikurim. Mitzvat Bikurim is also to understand and realize that there is a procedure that's happening all the time. One of the things that disturbs us a lot is, you know, we pray and pray and pray, and the Geula is not here. And we all want Geula. And we tell to ourselves, what's going to be? No. Our father, our great parents, our great great parents, everybody prayed for the Geula. And the Geula is not here. And sometimes people can get depressed and think, nothing is going to happen. So this is Mitzvat Bikurim to remind us that the procedure is not always seen by us. And we don't even understand it, but it's happening because God promised. And if you want to look and see how true it is, look around you. Look at this small country. We are surrounded with millions of enemies. Is this not a miracle? Do we see it every day? Or we go on with life? We talked about Amalek in our parsha also. Asher karcha baderech. What is Amalek saying? By accident. Karcha. It's a mikre. That's what Etzara is trying to tell us. That's nature. But what is nature? Nature is God. God is the creator. God does everything that happens here. And this is something we have to put in our head. And that's Mitzvah Bikurim. So when we talk about Bikurim, it's very important. Especially now, because Rosh Hashanah is the beginning. It's the first. And Rav Pinkus says the Chodesh Elul is not the last month of the year, but it is the first month of the new year. Or in other words, it's the gate. When we say Shoftim v'Shotrim titen lecha, a few weeks ago, says the Rav Pinkus Zatzal, the Sha'arim are the Sha'arim of the year. And when you want to go, we all know we want to step, go in with the right foot. We also want to go into the gate of the new year with the right foot. So what did God do? What did God do to us? He gave us this beautiful month. He said, I don't care what you did the whole year. You have 1 month, you can do and change everything. And if you think it's so hard, it's even not so hard. The only thing I want you is, do the first step. Ki tetzel lemilchama al oyvecha. Ki tavo, when you come to me, come with something. Come with bikurim. Show me. Show me your love. Imagine to yourself that this kid, that his father is waiting for him. What is he doing? What are we doing? Do we feel that God is standing here, wants to hug us? Do we run to him? Or do we go on with life? Passive. Adishut, as we said in Chet HaEgel. Like nothing happened. Another month. Chodesh Elul, okay, Rosh Hashanah will come. Well, we went through rough Rosh Hashanah. The other one, we will go through this also. This is an insult to our Father in Heaven. Because he said, I'm waiting with my hands open. And my boys, my children, are turning their back to me and going on like I'm not there. That is the meaning of Amelech Basadeh. The king is here with us, now. And he doesn't want a lot from us. If Yetzer Hara puts in our mind, a lot, you know, one of the things. Okay, so I'm going to do tshuva now. And I know that after Yom Kippur, I'm going to be the same that I am now. Don't we tell ourselves this? What is this, a game? What is this, a game? What, I'm playing a game with God? And this is Yetzer Hara, because the truth is, What God wants us, it's like this guy had this dirty house. Dirty, dirty. You know, I once saw a television program about people that they like to collect things. And these guys were collecting papers and things. I don't know if you saw it. In the end, I think it was in England. At the end, the whole house was full. They show him like going crawling and standing through the house. It was unbelievable. The whole house was full with the papers and the junk he collected. And they wanted to change him. They brought, I think, 4 or 5 lorries to take out all the dirt. But that's not the thing. The thing is, the Pinchas Zatzal says, a guy who thinks, I've got so many sins, the whole house is dirty, what can I do? You know what? I'll tell you what. You want to go into the new year, yes? Clean the entrance. Clean the entrance. At least the entrance clean. You clean the entrance, so then you can go in or not?
Yeah.
Okay, it will still be full with dirt, but at least I can go in for another year. That's what God wants. Okay, clean the entrance so we can go in. Clean the gate, the beginning of the year. Clean it. Try 1 month to be better. Even though you know that afterwards I'm going to back to my old ways. First of all, you're not sure. Because a lot of times when you do something good, you see, after this guy cleans the entrance, he's like, wow, I've got an entrance. You know what? Let's try and clean a little from the house so I can have a living room. So he cleans the living room. And after he cleans the living room, he says, oh, what's with the bedroom? I'm going to clean the bed. Mitzvah, goreret mitzvah. So what do we have to do? To clean the whole house? Don't think about it even. Just think about cleaning the entrance. And if you clean the entrance, all the rest is a whole story. God tells you, clean the entrance and go in. Then we'll see what's going on. But to think because the whole house is dirty, so what's made so many sins, so I cannot redeem, I cannot do anything good, stupid. That's Yetzer Hara, not Yetzer Hatov. The Rav Pinchas Zatzal tells a story, very interesting story. There was this king, and his son sinned against him. So the king didn't have any option, and he sent him away to the desert. Then he heard, unfortunately, you know, the king, it is his son. So he sent the messenger to see what's happening with his son, and he heard that his son fell into a deep hole in the middle of the desert, and he broke his legs. And, you know, the father, with all due respect, he loves his son. Didn't want his son to die, Chas v'Sholom. So he took the best people of his regime, the best ministers, and sent them with food and things to his son. They came there, and there is no way to go into the hole. It's too deep. And there is no way to, so the only way is to jump in. But if they jump in, they break their legs also. But the king says, you have to save my son. And the son is shouting, help, help. He's got no food. His legs are broken. So what do? Jump. And they break their leg, but they've got food and things, and they give the son the food, and Baruch Hashem, they start healing him. The king didn't hear anything about them. A few months, Bungai says, I have to look. So the king by himself decided to go and find his son. So he goes and he gets to the study and he hears shouts, hey, Batsilu, Batsilu. He gets there, he sees in the hall his son and the two ministers. He says, what's happening? What can I help you? I want to help you. He says, please, I've got a daughter that has to get married and I left in the middle. If you king, you can do me a favor and organize a shidduch for my girl. Also, parnosa, you know, I've got some problems. And also, we need supply. We need food, we need medicine, and we need this.
I'm glad.
asking
things about our doors, people soon. What should I ask?
We
want to go out of the hall! Yeah. So what do we do? Says the people, it's the same thing. We ask for parnoso, we ask for this, we ask. One thing we forget to ask. The Geula. So why are we amazed that the Geula is not here? Because we ask stupid things. What do we ask? We are in the hole, we are in the pit. We are surrounded with enemies. So what do we ask God? Parnoso, health. It's all good, but we forget to ask the main question. God, please take us out of the hole. Please redeem us. And this is what has to be our main task when we pray in Yamim Noraim. Because the power of those days is unbelievable. But we have to use it. If we don't use the power, if we don't ask for anything, nothing is going to happen. And you know, there's another thing. I don't know if I told you before, the Gemara brings two cases of people that are standing in front of death. The first case is two people have to be hanged. They get up and they pray to God that will save them. The same people, the same sin, the same situation. One is being saved and the other one is being hanged. Another case, two people are on their deathbed. They are seriously ill. That's it. They also get up and pray. And the same story. One gets better and the other one dies. So the Gemara asks, why? The same situation. Why was one saved and one was killed or died? So what is the answer of the Gemara? What do you think?
That's what Hashem wanted.
Oh, okay. Same situation, but why? Once the Gemara says, first of all, one was davening in Kavana, and the other one davened without Kavana. Do you expect this excuse?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's no guarantee people that I daven Kavana also die.
I ask you a stupid question. Do you think that somebody standing in front of dying is not going to pray with Kavana?
Not good question, yeah.
Impossible.
Impossible, of course it's Kavana, but he's going to die. What is that? God, please save me. Well, of course, Kavana. So this question is falls on the spot. So the Gemara says impossible. And they're both going to die, so of course they ask God in Kavana, in the best Kavana. That's it. So why? Again, the question raises. Why did one die and why survive? Because one believed and the other one didn't. What does it mean? One believed that God can save him, even though his situation is hopeless. He believed that with his prayer, he can be saved by God. Afilu cherev chada munachat al tzavaro shel adam. What is cherev chada munachat al tzavaro shel adam? A sharp sword on your neck, here. In other words, in 2 seconds you die. Even at that spot, you must not lose faith. God can save you, even if it looks like the end. So one of those believed. He says, but I'm praying to God. God is the Almighty. He can do whatever he wants. Though, okay, if you ask logically, I'm already dead. But I'm not logical, I'm spiritual, I'm talking with God, with my Father in heaven, who is the Creator. He can do whatever he wants, and I believe that he can save me. He was saved. The other one prayed in Kavana, everything, but he, deep inside, he couldn't believe that anybody can save him in this situation. In other words, when we pray to God on those special days, the first thing is emunah. Emunah v'bitachon. To believe in God and to trust him that we can be saved. And it doesn't matter, by the way, what we did and what we didn't. In any situation, we can go and climb the ladder. You know this famous dream that we all know. Sulam utzav arza, v'roshom agi ha-shamayim. And one of the onkelos says that Sulam na'utz is stuck in earth. What does it mean? Even if you are at the lowest level, stuck in the tumah, in earth, in artziut, in your materialistic.
I don't think I'm going to go home and try. Even if you are stuck in earth, in all the earthly matters, money, cars, clothes, even then, tumah, whatever, even then, you can climb the ladder. The Rosho, where is the head of the ladder?
Lashamayim.
And there is another beautiful explanation. In order to get Lashamayim, where do you have to be? On earth. You have to be in earth. Because without being on earth, you cannot climb the ladder and come to heaven. Because you were sent here for a mission. And if you go through hell in life sometimes, spiritually I'm talking, that's exactly the point where you have to climb. And don't worry, Rosho Magi HaShamayim. What do they say? Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam. What is Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam? Seven times a tzadik falls and gets up. What does it mean? What does it mean? Did you think, what does it mean? What does it mean? That a tzadik falls and gets up, okay. Because it's a tzadik, no. What does it mean? That in order to be a tzadik, you have to fall seven times. Because otherwise you're not a tzaddik, it's not a chokmah. If somebody grows up in Bnei Brak, closed in his shiur, and he the whole day he knows only learning and learning and learning, he's not involved in anything in the world, do you think this is his job? Is it right or wrong? He learns Torah. He learns Torah. The whole day. The whole night. But he's doing nothing for nobody. So is it good or bad? That's not the idea. Sulam utzal arza. You have to be involved with everybody. You have to be in this physical world because God, if you want to sit in the yeshiva and learn the whole day, and I'm not saying not, chas v'sholem. I'm not the one who's going to say anything like this. But the thing is to understand and realize that if you want to be holy, more than holy, you should have stayed there up there. But what are you doing here? If the only thing you do is being spiritual, so why are you here? Do you think that our way is the way of those Hindus that sit on the mountain alone by themselves, connecting to God? That's Judaism? No. Not at all. Judaism is the combination of the physical power and the spiritual power. That's what human being is. Human being is flesh and blood and a neshama from up there. Why? Because that's exactly what you should do. You should use the neshama in order to do things in this world. Because otherwise, why did we get the Torah? What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the malachim, the angels? Can you keep the Torah? Can you keep the mitzvahs? What mitzvahs can you keep? Lo tignov, lo tinaf, lo tirzach, what? Nothing to do with you. Kilaim, what? Pe'ah, what? What can you do? Nothing. Only human being can do it. In other words, in order to fulfill our job in life, we have to take the spiritual world and put it into the physical world. And when we have this combination, then we can raise up. That's our job. So in other words, only when the sulam mutzav arza, only when the ladder is in earth, then we can climb. So if this is the case, sometimes, if I'm deep in earth, I have the best of chances to climb up. Think about it. When the light, if I put a candle now here, would it add any light? Not a lot. But if I put the whole place in darkness, and I turn some light, I'm going to light. How would it light now? The whole room. In the darkness you see the light. By the Kabbalah, by the way, the whole idea is looking for our chesronot, for what we haven't got. Because if you haven't got, you want to get it. But if you feel you've got everything, you don't need anything. So the first thing is the ratzon. Ratzon is the human being, the will, to want something. Because if you want nothing, what are you doing? You do nothing. So when we stand in front of Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of Chodesh Elul, and God is telling us, now I'm with you, 100%, and I don't care what you did, and it doesn't matter where you stand and what sins you did, I am here to help you climb out of the... So should we ask that those three stupid, the son of the king and those three ministers, ask for medicine, ask for a shidduch, ask for help, when we can ask for the whole thing, for redemption? That's what we should ask. That's what we're doing. We want to get closer to God. We want the redemption. We want the temple. We want Beit HaMikdash. Another thing, and with this we'll end, I don't know if I can talk more than this. It's one of the things that is in our parsha. It's one of the crucial things. Tachat asher lo avadeta et Hashem Elokecha besimcha. What does it mean? It's unbelievable. On our parshat Shavua, we have a lot of things. But then we have this title, that you're going to be punished, doesn't matter what you do, for one thing, you didn't do the job with happiness, the simcha. In other words, what does it mean? I gave tzedakah, I prayed 3 times a day, I learned Torah the whole day. The only thing I didn't do, I was not happy. What is the Torah telling us? ובאו עליך כל הכללות האלה ורדפוך והשיגוך עד ישמדך כי שמעת השם לוקח על שמו רוצה ורוחדה שאוה ואולי בכל דבר צריך עד עולם תחת אשר לא עבד בואי נשאלו אילו ובא עליך כל הכללות all the curses everything is going to come on you why? because you didn't worship God with simcha unbelievable I did all the mitzvahs but I did it without simcha You're going to be cursed. You're going to look shan. Why? It's exactly because the basic thing is, as we said, our Father in heaven loves us. He wants us to show love. When we talk about fear, also, it's not the fear of a punishment. It's a fear of a disconnection. It's a fear of somebody that you love that is going to tell you, you know what? I don't want to know anything about you. I'm not going to. The punishment is that I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to join you. I don't want to know anything about you. That's the fear we have from God, because God loves us. In other words, if we realize how God loves us, everything He gave us, all the mitzvahs are all for our benefit, should we be happy or sad? Of course, sad. If somebody tells you, you drink this, you put it instead of sugar, let's put it in salt. But you're being promised, if you drink this whole glass with a salt, you will have $2 billion. Would you drink it? Would you be happy drinking it? What? Yeah. $2 million, you're not happy to drink it? You will be happy. Believe me, I would be happy.
Very
happy. Very happy. So if we believe that every problem we have in this world, every mitzvah we do in this world, is going to give us $3 billion, how would we do the mitzvahs? Happy?
Besimcha.
Besimcha. In other words, if I don't believe it, don't do the mitzvahs. I don't need it. It's garnish. There is this famous story with this we end today. This famous story, maybe everybody knows it, about those two families in the state. I don't know if the Rav Tesla brings it or somebody else, don't remember. Or the Rav Pinkus, maybe. I don't remember. There were two families at the time that when the Jews came from Europe to the state, and in the state you had to work the whole week. And every week you got the salary of the week, and if you didn't work on Shabbos, you would be fired. And then you had the next week to work for a new job. And there were two families. And there were a lot of families, unfortunately, we all know that because of this situation, stopped keeping Shabbos, because, you know, it's very easy for us to talk. But imagine you came with the whole family, and you know that if you're going to keep Shabbos, you're going to lose the job, and your family is going to starve. So you work on Shabbos, what can you do? But there were other families that kept Shabbos no matter what. And there were two families that also very strictly kept Shabbos. But from one family, all the sons will become rabbis and great people. And the other family, everybody become non-religious. And people did not realize that. I came to the rabbi and says, tell me, what's going on here? So those two people did everything to keep Shabbos and see what happened. So I'll explain you what happened. The first family, when he came home and he lost the job because he said, I'm not working on Shabbos, he came home, he sat on the table, it's so schwer to sein a Yid. We have to be a Jew, it's not simple. Very hard. Again, I lost my job because I want to keep Shabbos. The other family, the father came home. Sisu v'simcho, oh, Baruch Hashem, I keep Shabbos, I stoned it again, I'm a Jew, I'm a proud Jew. Baruch Hashem, next week I'll go and find that, God will help. Now imagine that, what do the kid, what lesson do the kid learn? From the first family, is it good to be a Jew or not? No. The second family, it's the best thing to be. So, from the other one family, everybody left to be a Jew. The other family, everybody became rabbis and great people. Because, if do it Hashem the Simcha. Simcha is the place of everything. And Simcha comes when you realize what God is for you. So it doesn't matter cameras around you, that you have to keep the Torah, because even if you keep the Torah like in Shanghai, you can still enjoy also the physical life, also the materialistic life. But the main thing is to understand that the main thing is the spiritual life. The main thing is the connection with God. And that's all what we do. It's to get closer to God. And this month is the month that God is embracing us. He is standing there with his arms open, and all what we have to do is kitetzeh. To come into him, not turn out there. To come into him, to do the first step. And then, Bezrat Hashem, we all nikatev v'nichatem l'chaim tovim la'altar. Amen. 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 Amen.